B&E.
Three dogs on the inside lane at 1 o'clock in the morning out on 290 having a conversation. I just happened to be driving on the outside lane.
Three dogs?
Three dogs. Just stopped sitting in the middle of 290 having a conversation with each other.
Like they were talking?
Yeah. Like they were having a party. Like sitting in the row in 290.
Smelling each other's butts or anything?
They weren't smelling. They were sitting.
Like on 290.
If I would have been in the inside lane, I'd have gone through right through three dogs having a conversation. I don't know, three dogs playing poker. I don't know what they were doing.
I'm like, that's what I'm saying, is that the dogs at the card table now.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Beautiful sunrise emerging in Austin, Texas on this Monday. Coming off a winning weekend for the Longhorns. Pretty good weekend for the Big 12. We'll dive into that around college football. Cowboys with a primetime performance last night. We'll hear from Jason Garrett coming up. Also, Dak Prescott. Cowboys get a victory over the New York football Giants. On the way to the break, we asked about the Longhorns becoming the third team with 900 all-time college football wins. There are two other. Did you have the answer, Buck?
Didn't one other get their 900th win this weekend also?
I did not see that. Who else would that have been? Because I know Michigan leads all with
944. Yeah, I was going to say Michigan's one for sure.
Yale has 902, and Texas now has 900. I don't see anybody else with 900.
That's it? Just those three?
Just those three, I believe, unless there's a mistake in my counting.
No.
Notre Dame needs three more to get to 900, but Texas, I don't think many people would pick
Mount
Yale.
Union.
Mount Union, that's not Division I. But yes, well, 900, that's a lot of wins. So Longhorns get it. We'll recap how they got there. Hope you had a great weekend. If you were part of the 103,500 and change that took in the game, like I did, like BK did, you were there on Bevo Boulevard on Saturday. What a scene. It was a lot of fun. We'll see if they can duplicate that again on Saturday with TCU coming to town for the conference opener. Did you have a good weekend outside of... I know you did the high school game on Friday night, which was a fun one. Garrett Wilson and Lake Travis over Bowie.
That was ridiculous. That was 42-7 at half.
Yeah,
that was at halftime, and they just decided to...
Hudson Card, the Texas commitment, throwing to Garrett Wilson, the Ohio State commitment. That's pretty good stuff right there.
That's pretty scary. Garrett Wilson is still... I don't know. I could come here every week and just say how incredible that dude is, but he is... Wags wanted to see it in live and in person. Because he kept hearing about this
Adam
kid.
Wagner, our producer?
Yes. So Wags came to the game. He said, oh, my goodness. And I said, yeah, that guy's good. That is good. Tom Herman, if Tom Herman had this kid coming here and also the running back at Ohio State, those are two different makers. Those are the kind of guys you got to keep looking for. And those are the kind of guys he's starting to grab on defense. And if he can get a couple of those guys as offensive linemen or running backs, this will be a real, real special place in the years to come. Because he's on the right track.
Well, they did get a commitment from a big running back prospect out of the state of Georgia. Let's tell you about that kind of here in the headlines. That comes off that big recruiting weekend. By the way, somebody said Ohio State 901, according to ESPN. Now, this says Ohio State has 889 all-time wins, but, you know, I don't know.
Depends, man. There's some vacations in there.
Oh!
Jim Tressel.
Oh, the
vacation. Yeah, that's
oh,
what I said. That's what I
the
said.
The vacated
I thought,
victories.
That's what I said. I thought another team got there. To it this week, and it wasn't Ohio State.
It depends on who you ask, man.
Yeah,
some
I guess.
People would say Notre Dame has it. Some people say Ohio State has it. But there's all sorts of NCAA loopholes
where they're taking away victories and stuff.
Yeah, the vacated wins,
yeah,
and NCAA took these away, and you know. All right, well, so we'll put Ohio State in there too if you want. I don't know, but that's not what my list says. But either way, Longhorns are now at 900 undisputed. Let's get to the headlines. Then our coach's corner. It's a busy Monday. UBO Business Services. Brings you the news, always from the Ticket City Update Desk. How about college football? Great night for the Longhorns on Saturday. Longhorns set a new record attendance, a crowd of over 103,500 into DKR Texas Memorial. They saw the Longhorns fall behind 14-3, but rallied to dominate the last three quarters. They posted 34 unanswered en route to a 37-14 victory over the 22nd-ranked Trojans. As we say, win number 900 in the program's history. First over a ranked team for head coach Tom Herman.
We were cranked up. We were juiced up, and we were there, especially defensively, to make some plays. We kicked a field goal to kind of keep, you know, there's a psychology to just seeing points on the board, and it was 14-3. And there was no panic ever, and it was nothing but positivity on our sideline. And we scored the next 34 points, and we scored in a variety of ways, and it was fun to see.
We'll have much, much more on the Longhorns' win throughout the morning and coming up in our Coach's Corner. Remember, you hear Coach Herman's Game Week News Conference noon today, live and exclusively here on the Horn. Texas looks forward to their third straight home game, but it's the opening of Big 12 conference play. Here come the Horn Frogs, TCU in town, 3:30 Saturday. Horn Frogs fresh off that loss to Ohio State Saturday in Arlington, 40-28 game there that they were leading into the third quarter, but let get away. Be a good one. Not only was Saturday an electric atmosphere and a big win, it was a huge recruiting night for Texas. Horns hosted as many as 50 of the top players from around the state and around the country. It's already paid a dividend. Yesterday, Buford, Georgia, four-star running back Darian Brown became the 16th commitment to the Longhorn recruiting class for 2019. He came in on his official visit and committed while he was here. Around the college football, AP top 25 remains mostly the same. Alabama's the undisputed number one, followed by Georgia now at number two. Clemson at three. Biggest mover in the top 25, it was LSU jumping six spots after their win at Auburn. Oklahoma State jumped nine spots after beating Boise State. NFL over the weekend, how about the primetime performance for the Dallas Cowboys last night? Remember, in week one, Cowboys didn't score a point until the fourth quarter. They decided, you know what, let's start quicker. How about the third play of the game last night?
In an I formation, and they'll play fake to Elliott. Time deep. There's a shot and a man at the 30, the 25, the 20, the 5. A right turn for Austin. Tavon Austin, touchdown Cowboys, 64 yards for number 10.
Cowboys jumped out 7-0 on that one to Tavon Austin. Game, though, dominated by the Cowboys from there. A couple more field goals, and the defense dominated. Six sacks of Eli Manning, and they bottled up the best players on the Giants, Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham Jr. They built a 20-3 lead. Hold on for the 20-13 victory.
Yeah, it was important for us to get out to a good start in this ball game in all phases of our team. I thought we did that. I thought we drove the ball well in the game. Dak was particularly good early on. I thought we mixed the run and the pass fairly well, and did a good job moving the ball and cashing those drives in. Obviously, the big throw to Tavon on the third play of the game was a huge play for us. And, you know, a long way to go in all phases of our team, but certainly a good start tonight.
Houston Texans, meanwhile, joined the Giants as one of seven 0-2 teams in the league. They posted an ugly 20-17 loss at Tennessee. A lot of penalties, a lot of mistakes. Tennessee gets the win there. They're also 7-2-0 teams after 2 weeks. Jacksonville, how about their impressive win yesterday, opposing their will on the New England Patriots, 31-20. Kansas City is 2-0. They've got wins on the road at the Chargers and at Pittsburgh. Beat them yesterday 42-37. Pat Mahomes, a second-year quarterback, six touchdown passes in that victory. He now has 10 through two games, which is a new record. Other 2-0 teams, Cincinnati, Miami, Tampa Bay, Denver, and the LA Rams with a rout of the Cardinals yesterday. Monday Night Football wraps up week two tonight. Bears hosting the Seahawks in Chicago. You heard that game right here on the Horn just after Chad and Kevin tonight. Baseball, a little breathing room for the Astros on this Monday, and they're leading the AL West. Now 4.5 games with just 13 to go in the regular season. Justin Verlander struck out 11 in seven dominant frames yesterday. Houston beat Arizona 5-4 there. They win that series 2 out of 3. Oakland, meanwhile, dropped 2 out of 3 in Tampa. They lost yesterday by that same score, 5-4. Rangers lost in San Diego 7-3.
Documation is now UBO Business Services. New name, same great people, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Tom Herman's funny. He surprised his own self. Hey, we kicked the field goal. I'm thinking, well, yeah, you kicked the field goal.
He did, yeah.
He was surprised he kicked the field goal. Like he said, yeah, our momentum. Yeah, we kicked the field goal. That gave us momentum. Yes, sir, coach. Those are good points.
Well, and they got some good fortune. I mean, they really dominated this game. USC, once they figured out.
Did you see the USC special team? I mean, how about that punter? You're talking about a shankopotamus.
Yeah, that set up at the field goal before the half for Texas. Which I thought was the big momentum, which is an illusion, but one of the bigger moments of the game was Texas getting points before the half and then coming out of half and going down the field and scoring a touchdown with the Joshua Moore touchdown from Sam Ellinger.
He's got nice hands. Is that his second touchdown? Has he already had a touchdown?
That was his first? No. He and DeSean Jameson, the two freshmen who really impressed the coaches during camp. DeSean Jameson as that slot receiver behind little Jordan Humphrey.
But he's long, right?
Joshua.
6'1"?
Maybe. But he's not 6'4 like little Jordan.
No. But he stretched out there and grabbed that one.
No, it was nice. That was. To take control of a game like that, that was a four-quarter performance. And yes. By the fourth quarter, USC was ready to leave. I mean, they were done. That was – you got to give credit where credit is due.
That was really, really good to see four quarters of football.
Yeah. And there was some rabble at 14-3, obviously. USC went right down the field and scored. And, where they were beating man coverage, Texas was loading the box to stop that run. And, Texas just was – I thought they misplayed some balls in the back end on their secondary. They were in position – you know, to make plays and didn't, and then got that under control and took control of the football game. So, you know, for everybody that says, well, USC's not good, which is fair, but it was just, it was a much better performance than Tulsa. So, I mean, all you can ask for is to get better each week, and now you give yourself an opportunity to welcome in TCU, who comes in with a ton of talent, a four-game win streak over Texas.
Now you're talking. You can be, if you beat this team, now you're talking.
Yeah, now you're, you know, I want to say the Maryland loss is a race because that never happens, but you feel a heck of a lot better about your team than you did the Monday after Maryland because you were able to, you know, and as I've said, one of the goals I had all summer for this team was win your home games. Go 6-0 at home. Well, if you can find a way to beat TCU on Saturday, which it's a huge challenge. That's a very, very good football team with a that is always tremendously coached. You now
you're
are 3-0 halfway there.
You're going to have to out-coach them because you're not going to out-physical them. You're not going to be faster than they are. This is one of those games where coaching really is going to matter in this game, and your coach is going to have to put you in. If you trust your coach and you trust their offensive coordinator, this is the game for them to win because physically, your team isn't as physical as TCU. You don't have as many special players as they do all around, especially at the wide receiver position and that defensive line. But if you can find a way to do some things and some trickeration and stuff like that, you have to coach this game to beat
Todd Orlando's got to have a great game plan. I mean, because you know Sam Ehlinger and the offense will struggle with Gary Patterson's defense. I mean, it's just, you know, points are going to be hard to come by, and long drives are going to be hard to come by. They're very, very good. You hope you can get Keonta Ingram back. Maybe we get an update from Tom Herman on that today, the freshman running back who did not play in the USC game. But, yeah, I mean, their overall team speed at TCU is just, it jumps off the screen.
Yeah, and certain plays aren't going to work. Those third and ones where Sam Ehlinger takes it and runs around the corner, that TCU group.
It's not like USC doesn't have high-end players on defense. I mean, they do. They've got good players on that side of the ball. And
they had a pretty good linebacker out of the game.
But again, let's go. The USC's got good players. I mean,
they do. I'll say it again. They have better plays than we saw at Tulsa.
You're right. So, you know, some of those design plays, you got to give the line credit. They blocked well. I mean, this is really just a sweep with your quarterback. I mean, you know, if blocked, that can be an effective play if you run it and execute it properly. But I agree with you. Those long developing wide running plays, probably not the best against TCU. But Ohio State did show you some vulnerabilities that you have to be able to attack because they put 550 yards on TCU's defense in that game on Saturday night in Arlington. All right, before we dive into the coach's corner and hear from Tom Herman, let's mention, speaking of great coaching, I thought the Cowboys did a great job last night. I thought Rod Marinelli, I know the offensive line for the Giants was just a sieve, but he designed that. He schemed that a lot of times to bring overload blitzes to the right side, to the correct side of the ball. Rod Marinelli, I thought, and Scott Linehan, give them credit. I felt like the games they called last night put the Cowboys in a position to dominate that football game. And the other one, the flip side of that is the Houston Texans, who just look like the worst coach team in football right now with Bill O'Brien, which has got a lot of rabble going on in Houston. And I'll say it this way, to watch Jacksonville play New England the weekend after Houston played them, you want to talk about two polar opposites as far as a well-coached team. Jacksonville, without their best player, Leonard Fournette, imposed their will on the New England Patriots and attacked their weaknesses, took Rob Gronkowski out of the game. To me, Jacksonville versus Houston right now in that division, not close. It's not close.
Yeah, they did everything they wanted to against New England. They had them, and they had Tom Brady confused, and they pressured him too.
Well, we know they have great defensive personnel. I mean, there's no debate. I mean, Houston has really good defensive personnel. Houston has good offensive personnel. They're just poorly coached. They're poorly schemed. They make stupid mistakes over and over, and that's where you got to give Jacksonville credit because they're a buttoned-up group who are showing through 2 weeks that last year's run to the AFC Championship game.
No, it was a fluke.
Not a fluke.
Uh-uh.
And Tom Coughlin's having an impact on that organization. Doug Marrone's doing a good job. And Blake Bortles threw for 350 yards against the Bill Belichick team. 350.
Yeah, guys are making outstanding catches for him. I mean, there was some good stuff going on in that game.
And you heard Tony Romo say it, that, you know, starting the game, Tony Romo was doing this game with Jim Nantz and said, you know, typically Bill Belichick takes a player away from you, but he's going to take away their run game, which they did, which gave man coverage on the outside, which Bortles exploited the whole game. You know, they were leaving receivers who, you know, D.D. Westbrook and this kid you never heard of exposed, and they beat man coverage. So you give them credit. Also, unlike Houston could do in week one, they took Rob Gronkowski out of the game. I mean,
that's why you Irish dance right there.
And that's good coaching. And that's, you know, Bill O'Brien look in the mirror situation because one team is really well coached in Jacksonville. One team, you see Jadeveon Clowney got a penalty on the sidelines
that
and he's in street clothes. Are you kidding me? A 15-yard penalty?
He wasn't playing. He wasn't.
Oh, no, of course. The China doll on the defensive side is hurt. He's got something going on.
Which one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, really.
I mean, come on. Texans 0-2. Hey, let's dive into your Coach's Corner.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
All right, so big win for the Longhorns. Big ups to Texas administration for putting on a great show. That was fun. You know, we talked about the national crowd, and you know, we knew it was the Fox game of the week, so it was the national broadcast. And you want to put your best foot forward on that. And props to Mother Nature for holding off. The weather went north and cleared out for the kickoff. A little muggy, but other than that, it was great. And it was a good show. It was a good show. I saw a lot of national commentary for folks who were here covering the game on a national level. You know, really talking about the, because they've been here many times covering a Texas football game, and they noticed. Give Chris Del Conte credit. You've been a part of that for 2 weeks in a row, and it's kind of a special thing they're building. I don't want to say skeptical, but you just didn't know. We've covered this team long enough. How are Texas fans going to respond to this new, you know, Bevo Boulevard idea, the live music and the fun? They've come out in droves. It's become the place to be.
Yeah, it's double. It was double the crowd this week on Bevo Boulevard. It was, you were shoulder to shoulder. It was packed. But then there were a lot more USC people than there were Tulsa people around.
Oh, yeah, you knew they travel. And
sure,
a lot
yeah,
of
they
them
did
live
travel,
here, of course. And
yeah,
we were down at 17th and San Jacinto on a tailgard, and it was jammed. I mean, it was packed. That thing was hopped and electric with atmosphere. Those are fun. Those are what it's all about. I think it'll be very similar this weekend with TCU in town. Obviously, the Horned Frogs will travel, and they've got a lot of Horned Frogs that live here. This will be a fun atmosphere, but it's fun. I mean, when game day's fun, it's fun. You only get six of them.
Well, when they win, it's even more fun. If they can continue to win, and just, as you said, whole service at home, and that's going to be a tough task for, because there's, and now all of a sudden I'm looking at teams in the Big 12, and I really didn't expect Oklahoma State to look that good. And once again, Texas Tech has found a quarterback. I don't even know where this guy is. Is this a freshman or a sophomore? I don't know where that dude came from, because they just ate up Houston. Ed Oliver and that whole gang, Majors guy, they just ripped those dudes.
We will run around the Big 12 here coming up. Let's hear from some of the Longhorns, though. Longhorns get the victory. We mentioned the big spark play, I thought, for Texas was Sam Ellinger to little Jordan Humphrey on a little spin route or a little comeback route, but then he spun out of the tackle and took it down the sidelines. Colin Johnson gave him a good block. That was a big, big jolt. They were down 14-3 at the time. That made it 14-10. The touchdown coming out of half after kicking the field goal before the half to go from, I mean, they scored, 9 points without USC touching the ball again to take the lead and take control. The Caden Stearns block kick, and then they dominated the fourth quarter, 37-14 final. Here's Charles Omenihu, one of those guys up front, one of those senior captains who played well in this game. He talked about finishing the game afterwards.
Just amazing feeling, man. We always preach finish around here, and we came up in the fourth quarter and was preaching it again like how we always do in practice. And we were saying finish, you know what I'm saying? Don't let up. Reminiscent kind of on last year, how we could have had the opportunity to finish, and we were like, "This, we're not going to repeat ourselves." So we came out there, same mindset as we did in the beginning of the game, filling the gas, and we ended up doing what we needed to do.
What we talked about, four quarters of football. They've won the fourth quarter of the last 2 weeks, and that's what you're trying to do, is improve as a team week to week. And credit where credit is due, and we'll see what they do against TCU.
Yeah, they got to finish games, and not only finish, they have to start fast and they have to finish fast. And in order to beat the really, really good teams, you got to continue to play four quarters of football. And you can't, what I liked about them, there wasn't a lot of crazy mistakes. The offense still makes a couple here and there, and some
sure
illegal procedures that'll drive you absolutely and drive their coach mad on the offensive line or the wide receivers, but They played all in all phases pretty, pretty well, and that's what you have to do. And to beat good teams, to beat great teams, you're going to have to even go just a step above what they did on Saturday. That's what'll have to be done. And they have the ability because they have the players. They really do. They have enough good players to do just that.
Yeah, well, and that's all you want, right? As a fan or certainly an observer, is to see the good players get better and improve and not make the same mistakes and continue to get better. You saw Chris Boyd, who dropped a big interception at Maryland that was costly, make a big interception in a big spot and make an All-American kind of play in that spot. You're seeing the offensive line get better. Calvin Anderson, I thought, played a nice game on the outside. This offensive line is improving and coming together. And
they're getting a little bit better at the run game, too.
Yeah.
They're getting some separation from guys and making some holes.
They are, and you get Keonta Ingram back in there. He's the guy that can You know, he can just win in space. I mean, you can give him the ball and he can beat a man.
Sure.
And you don't have to block everybody with Keontae Ingram on the field. At least we've seen that early in his freshman year. They're going to need Keontae Ingram to be a factor if they're going to be a factor in the Big 12, in my opinion, because he is. I think little Jordan Humphrey is a difference maker on the outside. I think Colin Johnson, when they get man coverage to him, is going to be a difference maker for them. But they need that guy. I like Trey Watson. I think he's a nice player. I think Daniel Young is kind of a guy that can finish a game for you and brings a, you know, I'm trying to think of a comparison to him, but, you know, Marion Barber type player for you that just kind of thumps it up in there. But Keontae Ingram is the guy that can put the ball in the end zone. He's the guy that can take it to the house, even against a team like TCU. He can get the edge on you. And
I just thought it was a game for Daniel Young to really, really show, and he just was okay.
Yeah.
They need more than okay to really win some big, big games.
Well, and that's where I think Ingram is a step up from that. And, you know, TCU's got a kid named Darius Anderson who's better than okay. He's tremendous. He put 150 on Ohio State real fast.
And big.
Well, that's going to be the theme of the week, I would imagine, for Tom Herman and Todd Orlando and this team is
they got to stop the run.
We got to be fast.
You have to stop the run game.
You cannot blink against this TCU team because they can really go. And they played Ohio State off their feet. They had a bad 4-minute stretch where TCU gave up 21 points in 4 minutes, 3 touchdowns in 4 minutes. And
that was a really fast game. There was fast athletes all over the place in that football game. Yeah,
crazy good.
And I love that the fake play. I saw a couple of nice little weird plays. That throwback that TCU did where the guy was laying in the end zone.
Yeah, the dead man play.
That was so funny.
Well, it was clearly a forward pass.
Well, the guy got hit.
Yeah, he got clobbered right as he threw the ball.
The pressure really got to him. I think they may have got that thing off if he wouldn't have got it, but he got smacked.
Yeah. Well, you could tell Gary Patterson knew the game was getting away from him and had to try to make a play, and Buckeyes got the win there. All right, so we'll continue the good, bad, and ugly. Go around the Big 12. Who is this young quarterback at Texas Tech? How good is Oklahoma State? And we'll hit some of that coming up, plus the rest of the NFL.
How good is Kansas? How good are the Jayhawks? How good are they?
They've won 2 in a row, you know. They've got a better record than USC, I know that. We'll be back. B&E on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
B&E.
Second down and 3. Ellinger from the gun, Sam with the snap, rolls, looking to run it himself. Ellinger to the 2, to the 1, touchdown Texas! Sam Ellinger followed blocks very well and had a little alley and used it to push into the end zone for the score.
Yeah, that was the capper. That made it 36-14. The point after touchdown was good. Longhorns win it, going away 34 unanswered as they dominate USC after falling in an early hole. 900th win for the program and second win of the young season for the Longhorns, now 2-1, now facing a daunting challenge this week with TCU, who not only beat Texas 3 consecutive years, do we realize that they've outscored Texas 153-33. In those 4 games. Texas is going to have to be on point and play much better than they have against Gary Patterson's Horned Frogs, who lost to the Buckeyes. Quick note tonight, you know, we got a busy day today. Got Tom Herman news conference at noon today, the game week news conference, looking back at the USC game, looking forward to the Horned Frogs, and then full day with all our local shows. Craig Way will have the full recap of the high school football Friday night and weekend at 10 o'clock with the Horn High School Spotlight. Trey and BK, Rod Babers with the Rodcast, Chad and Kevin, and then Monday Night Football tonight, Bears and Seahawks. We've got a new thing we're doing, Buck, with the NFL Alumni of Austin, which you were a part of. You're alumnus of the NFL. And a happy hour. Instead of, you know, we know folks want to get to bed on a Monday night. It's been a long weekend. But we do a happy hour. We're at the Brass Tap in the Domain tonight. Rod Babers will be there. And every week, a different member of the NFL alumni will come by, and they're going to do kind of a conversation, talk football, NFL, Longhorns, all things going on. Rod will be talking with the great Corey Redding. We're going to be hanging out at the Brass Tap tonight for the happy hour. You're welcome to stay and watch the game, but you'll be in and out of there. It's usually 5:30 to about 7:30, and get to meet Corey and talk to Rod and have a lot of fun. We're going to do those on Monday nights in advance of our Monday Night Football broadcast. So get out there. That'll be fun tonight. Great prizes and good times talking football, NFL, and college. I'm sure it'll be a pretty happy atmosphere after a Longhorn victory.
Absolutely.
And that crowd. I just saw so much reaction on social media and emails and whatnot. People have just had a great time. I mean, that was a fun day because the rain held off and the pregame festivities were a blast. The game itself was raucous. I mean, it was just a cool environment.
Got to shake Chris Del Conte's hand.
Ooh, it's a big hand.
On the way out.
He's a tall guy.
It's a big old tall dude.
Yeah, he's got to be excited about the way things have gone so far. They've got another chance to put on a good show on Saturday with TCU. Now, BK, let me ask you, because you were a student at Texas and then you were in the stands for this. We know you mentioned last hour the crowd was loud. You love that environment. What about just the game day presentation? I mean, I noticed it week one with the Tulsa game, but just not as many commercials, no Jetpack Dude, just the bands and football and fun, it seemed like.
Yeah, RIP Jetpack Dude. Rough accident a couple years ago, one has to assume. But, no, it was great, man. Less advertisements was the big thing. I mean, during timeouts, you had hype videos going on, you had music. And I thought they did a pretty good job of mixing up the tunes a little bit, right? I mean, for the most part, you've got to appeal to the students and, more importantly, the recruits who are in high school and college. But I thought they played some kind of old school, some classic rock, some pump-up music to get the alumni involved as well. That was great. And obviously a record crowd at DKR. They were making noise. The best thing CDC did or has done since he's gotten to the University of Texas, and he's done a ton of great things. But I said this from the start as a guy who was a student over the past 4 years. Putting one general admission student section was genius. Because, number one, all the students are together, which just makes sense. That's what every other school in the country does. But number two, it gets the students to DKR earlier. I mean, the student section was filling up at 4:30 on Saturday.
Yep.
That had never happened in the past.
Right.
Because you could just show up whenever and kick somebody out of your seat or move down wherever you wanted. So the GA bit is huge. And everybody showed
it's
out.
First come, first serve,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah, you get to sit. So the kids do get there early. And I will say this. I mean, the student section was packed 50 minutes before the kickoff.
Yeah.
Like, packed. Like, everything else is empty, and the students were in there and watching the team warm up. And this is why when Tom Herman was talking about the postgame, that it does impact the players. You know, when the players come out and they're doing, you know, their pregame stuff, and there's the whole section of students cheering them on and, you know, having fun with them, that's kind of cool. You know, that's that vibe that you want to create between your student body and your team at a college level. We see it throughout college football. We haven't seen it in Austin in a long time because the students were separated. There were pockets of students throughout the stadium. Now you put them all together, let them have a good time, and they kind of crank everybody up, right? And when the music gets going and they're jumping, we've seen that like at Wisconsin games or, you know, South Carolina game, all through the SEC, these student sections are going crazy, which gets everybody jacked up and everybody fired up in the whole building, which creates a different atmosphere. And that was fun to see. So that's why I say, you know, I haven't seen an electricity like that. The Notre Dame game for the Sunday night game on Labor Day 2 years ago.
That was incredible.
That was a great atmosphere, no doubt. Go back to 2008 when Texas actually hosted game day a couple of weeks here, and there was a Missouri game that was just crazy, crazy loud. But this one, again, because the students have now been put in one spot, I just think the atmosphere eclipses all that because that's new. It's a new thing that creates more energy for the whole building, which was fun to watch. And, of course, the team responded with a good performance after falling behind a little bit.
And they're going to need it again on Saturday. Man, you know, 3 o'clock game a little bit earlier, but it's going to have to be ruckus against TCU because that is a damn good football team into town, and Texas needs to use that home field advantage to its advantage.
Well, and that's the thing, right? I mean, through 3 games, Texas got a good win, but you're still not sure if Texas is a damn good football team. They still have got some issues. They've got but that's why they play the games and, you know, go put it on the field. An emerging quarterback potentially in Sam and taking over control of the offense and finding his weapons, and then the defense kind of finding its feet. But I mean, I agree with BK. Even when they're both 2-1, I think TCU's a damn good football team. Damn good.
Oh, you know,
they're better than damn good.
They're damn great.
They're not damn great.
But they slap this group around every year. I'm not going to pretend they're not. This will be the fastest group that they have seen since, I don't know, since the last time they saw them. I mean, they're fast, they're big, they're strong, they're individual players that make plays all over the place. This is a coach's game. This is you have to do something.
Right?
This is what you get paid to do. Find a weakness at TCU that you can, you know, you have to be able to go find their weakness.
But that's what Patterson's doing to you. I mean, that's what great coaches do. I mean,
yes.
That's why I was frustrated with the Texans versus Jacksonville earlier, right? Because the Texans played New England week one, Jacksonville played in week two. It was obvious. Jacksonville, their game plan for New England was far superior, and you know, good. This is what the Longhorns have to do. You have to comb through that Ohio State tape, find some weaknesses you can exploit on both sides of the ball, where you can attack and get after it.
And your special teams against TCU have to be perfect.
Yeah. No doubt. Because
I'm noticing that Texas is coming very close to getting a punt blocked.
Yeah, kid's got to get the ball off.
He holds on to that thing forever.
I mean, I was sitting right there in that north end zone. I don't know how the punt that, you know, turned into a roughing the kicker call, which was huge for Texas at the time, in the second quarter. I'm not sure how that ball wasn't blocked. I mean, he was on top of the kicker. I'm like, well, that's a block.
He was on his waist instead of down his legs.
I don't know how he didn't
took
block
a bad angle.
It's like, how do you miss that? But either way. But, yeah, Texas has to be buttoned up on their special
teams. But you don't know how TCU is going to react after that loss. They may be just so –
they got pretty up for that game.
They got – well, yeah, they got up. But the only thing is that you're playing Texas. And for Gary Patterson, that's a let's go punch them in the face. No matter what, we're tougher than they are. We can win that game.
You know what I liked about this? There's a GIF going around or a little video of right before Caden Stearns blocked that field goal. There's a sideline pan, and there's Todd Orlando with the headset on, and you can read his lips. He says, like something out of the movies, block this mother blanker. You can read his lips, and of course, then they blocked. So obviously they had that little spin twist play on off the right side or the kicker's left side.
Texas is back.
I don't know about that.
Come on, man.
I'm so tired. You know, Joe Tessitore could be the nicest dude in the entire world. And I cross paths with him down the road, and he could be great. But I will forever hate that man
for that
quote.
For that quote?
Because every time Texas wins a damn football game, I got to hear it.
Well, I know.
Come on, man.
But you understand that they're not back. They've got a big win. Could it be a program momentum building, confidence building type of win? We'll see. We'll find out Saturday.
No, this is the one.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the one that can be.
But you got to be fair, because I know I said all through the pregame and all last week, a win is important. It's a must-win game, but a loss would have been devastating, like catastrophic to Tom Herman and his regime here at Texas. And they got it, and they did it. They look good doing it after some early struggles. Around the Big 12, you asked who the young quarterback is for TC or Texas Tech. Texas Tech put up 63 on Houston. Alan Bowman, freshman from Grapevine, Texas.
From where?
Grapevine. He threw for 605 yards and 5 touchdowns against the Fighting Major Applewhites on Saturday. Pretty impressive. Alan Bowman is the kid to watch for this season now at Texas Tech. Also around the Big 12, Oklahoma got scared a little bit in Ames, but they end up beating the Iowa State Cyclones. I'll say this about Iowa State. They're not going to be an easy out for anybody. They've got these big receivers, and this young quarterback, this sophomore that started for them, acquitted himself very, very well. 37-27, Oklahoma got the win. They are number 5 in the country right now. How about Oklahoma State, Buck? Not just beating Boise State, dominating Boise State. 44-21, the Fighting Mullets, the Fighting Mike Gundys.
Surprising. That was a surprise to me because I'd watched that Boise State offense the week before. They looked pretty good.
They did. They looked really good. We mentioned TCU lost. I mean, that game, they were up 21-13 in that game. And then Ohio State scored 3 touchdowns in 4 minutes, which really turned the tide. And TCU kind of self-destructed in there. There was a block punt in there that was huge. The shovel pass interception for the young quarterback was huge. It went to the house for Ohio State. That was a big
turn. Dobbins is good, too.
Oh, JK's awesome. Whew. JK. And that's the... I mean, I don't know where Keontae Ingram is in that, but I think Keontae Ingram can be that for Texas. He's just got that special little wiggle to him. Plus, he's bigger than you think. Keontae Ingram becomes a huge factor for Texas. Outside of the Big 12, Buck, what was the most impressive thing you saw this weekend in college football? Was it LSU on the road at Auburn?
That's a good win. I mean, that's 2 back-to-back. That's 2 pretty good wins on the road.
It is.
It really is. When you get a win like that, they still don't do much for me offensively. They're afraid to let the quarterback really throw. And they still want to be a run-first kind of run team and – just a little bit worried about their quarterback, but I don't see enough of them to beat Alabama or really get close to Alabama. I just don't. And that game's away, too.
But yeah, well, I don't know if anybody can get close to Alabama. That's the thing. I mean, A&M goes to Alabama this weekend.
Come on, the Aggies cannot be a 26-point dog.
Yeah, they can.
No, they can't. There's no way. Well, you did see that performance, right?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
26 points? What's the score going to be? 60 to, there's no way.
42-10.
Aggies got to score more than 10. Come on.
I mean, if the Aggies hold them under 50, it'll be an achievement. They've scored 50-some, 60-some. I mean, that's this Tua guy, perfect on third downs, making plays. They can't get him off the field. That was my thing, you know, jumping back and forth college to pro. That's my thing about Pat Mahomes with the Chiefs. I mean, kind of like you just can't get the guy off the field because his third down, he can run. He's got the laser beam. Really, really good. This guy says E. Texans were playing Tennessee. I know that. I was comparing the Texans' game plan and execution versus New England to Jacksonville's yesterday because it's a different level of coaching going on in both places, and Jacksonville's really good and Houston's really not, even though they both have really good players, in my opinion. Hey, how about that Pat Mahomes game. Think about this. You talk about the LSU with two huge wins, and they, you know, neither of them came in their own building. The Chiefs' wins are at the Chargers and at Pittsburgh. They still have 8 games at home in Kansas City where they're really hard to beat.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking about double-digit wins already. Because they don't lose in Kansas City very often. So you go get those wins. Those are gravy to get that on the board. That's what LSU has done. LSU still has their home schedule to play, which is pretty darn good. To get a win at Auburn, which we didn't think they could get, most people didn't think they could get, that's a huge victory for them.
I'm all over North Texas. Yeah.
Well, so Seth Luttrell is going to be the hot name in coaching, right? Because you know what? North Texas, after beating Arkansas, and I was reading a lot of folks criticizing Chad Morris. Look, Chad Morris is coming in and building a totally new offense compared to what Brett Bielema was doing. It's going to take some time. I mean,
got all those big offensive linemen. They just run block.
Yeah, people want a quick fix. But the Bielema offense to what Chad Morris wants to run is going to be a transition. So kind of like, you know, UCLA, Chip Kelly's getting his head kicked in a little bit.
And what happened to Wisconsin? Was Boy on a bicycle playing at BYU again?
No, BYU is not there.
Are you sure?
But let me mention this about Seth Luttrell. You know, he played at Oklahoma. He was on that Oklahoma team that won the national title for Bob Stoops in 2000. He's going to be the big name in the coaching industry because North Texas may not lose this year, Buck.
Come on.
Well, after getting through
BK, tell me.
I'm telling you.
BK, final loss for that group. There's no way.
They could be one of those New Year's Day type teams that you're looking at saying, wait a second, they've got double-digit wins, and they beat Arkansas, and, you know, watch out for the mean green.
They're going to get themselves rings, too?
Possibly. They're pretty good. Pretty good. They didn't just beat Arkansas. They beat them bad.
Did somebody tell Scott Frost he's no longer coaching at Central Florida?
Well, same thing. He's got to build his deal. I mean, year ones. And Neil Brown at Troy is a really good coach. Neil Brown, the coach at Troy,
he has been, yes.
He also is going to be a name to watch for, big picture, for college football hires. But, yeah, Scott Frost, he'll be fine. But Big Ten took it on the chin.
Oof.
I mean, when you're the Big Ten and you lose to the likes of Akron, Kansas, Troy.
Troy and Kansas.
Oh, not good. BYU beating Wisconsin. Jeez Louise. We'll be back. B&E on the Horn. BK will lead us through Hot or Not on a sunny, what do you know, sunny Monday morning. The sun will come up. Finally, no more rain in the forecast today. It's B&E on the Horn.
What's hot? And what's not?
Come watch the games at Alibi on Rainy Street with their kickoff to College Game Day. Come enjoy drink and beer specials throughout the games and get your first taste of Altstadt's Marzen-style Oktoberfest.
Says, y'all see the rushing totals for USC. Yeah, that'd be -5 yards. Fewest rushing yards for the USC program this century.
It's awesome.
Yeah, Texas defense was really good. They'll face TCU on Saturday. So hot or not, weather back to being pretty nice. I don't know, I wasn't kidding when we went to the break. I can't remember one because you have to close the blinds for me, and you're so nice to do that when the sun comes up because I face due east.
Mm-hmm.
And
first time in a long time.
You haven't had to do that in a while.
No.
Had to do that in a while.
It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah. But the sun is out, and the Longhorns got a victory on Saturday, which is good. BK, how are you, my friend? What do you have? You got to be feeling good. Your Longhorns won. Your Jayhawks won. Yes. Your Cowboys won.
That's the best football weekend I've had since November 8th and 9th, 2014.
Whoa. Not that you're counting.
Not that I've been keeping track, but that's the last weekend in which the Horns, Jayhawks, and Cowboys all won on the same weekend. It's been 4 years. I've experienced that.
Sure. Oh, okay.
That is hard to believe.
Don't make me do anything. I'm too happy right now.
Well, the Jayhawks do kind of
That's their fault. It's usually their fault.
Do you think they're going to stop now? They got Baylor this weekend.
I know. This is their last chance for a win this year. It's their last chance for a win. They're 2-0 against FBS teams. No more FCS on the schedule, please. All right, guys. September 17th, 20 and 18. National Monte Cristo Day. You guys like those Monte Cristo sandwiches?
Never had one.
What the hell are you talking about? All right. The Count of Monte Cristo?
I've never had a Monte Cristo sandwich. Is that my missing out?
Yeah.
I know I've heard of it. I couldn't even tell you what it is.
I've never even heard of that before.
A French ham and cheese style bit.
Okay. I've had a ham and cheese sandwich. Then maybe I have then. I just don't know what makes it a Monte Cristo.
All right.
I've had the ham and cheese. I like hot ham and cheese. You ever have hot ham and cheese when you were a kid?
I have. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Is that like a grilled cheese with ham in it? Is that what a Monte Cristo is?
Oh, yeah, it looks like an
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, okay.
It's a grilled cheese.
Okay, so I've had that.
I've had that one before,
Grilled cheese with ham in it.
Or yeah.
A Monte Cristo.
I like it.
I'm not sure why I asked because I've never had it either. All right, guys.
You like a good grilled cheese, man.
There are, 7-2-0 teams across the NFL. You've got Miami, you've got Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Kansas City, Denver, Tampa Bay, and the Rams. Some surprise teams there. But I'll ask you guys, the most impressive of those 7-2-0 teams, who you got?
The Bucs. How the Bucks doing that?
Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic. Did you see his outfit he wore yesterday?
He was big pimping afterwards. He looks like a UFC fighter or something after the game.
Exactly like McGregor.
He did.
You can't even read.
No, I mean, he's playing great. And, you know, their wins have come in New Orleans and home. Then they beat the defending champions, Nick Foles and the Eagles. So give them credit for that. But most impressive for me, the Rams don't surprise me. Because the Rams are really good, and they might be the most complete team in the league right now.
Jacksonville shouldn't surprise you,
yeah, but
right?
I'm going to give the most credit to, Kansas City, with their ability to go on the road and beat the Chargers and then turn around and beat the Steelers yesterday, where Mike Tomlin seems like he's losing control of that team, with Le'Veon Bell still out and no defense. But Jacksonville, Tom Coughlin has really helped button up that organization. I know Doug Marone's the coach, and he's doing a great job. Their offensive game plan was brilliant yesterday. Their defensive game plan against New England was great yesterday. And when you've got great coaching with great players, I mean, you're hard to beat. And that's what Jacksonville is right now. They're really tough to beat. And they didn't even have Leonard Fournette yesterday and beat up on the Tom Brady's. Now, Tom Brady, they understood that he didn't have Julian Edelman. Amendola's gone. Deion Lewis is gone. All those guys. But they took Rob Gronkowski out of the game.
Yeah, and New England let that happen to him. And that's unusual for them to let that happen.
But you got to give credit to the scheme.
Right.
But at the same time, they've got a great front seven, and they can hit Brady.
And they did.
Yeah. I mean, Jacksonville, legitimate. They're a legitimate threat there. I think Kansas City's a legitimate threat to the reign of the Patriots.
You know who's not legit? The Texans.
They're a joke.
That is a joke.
They lost to a team with Blaine Gabbert as the starting quarterback and two backup tackles. Thanks to a fake field goal for a touchdown, Houston outgained them almost 200 yards.
I don't know how that happened.
11 penalties. It is sloppy. Sloppy mess is what they are.
We were wrong about those guys.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So far, 0-2. Haven't played a home game yet, though. We'll see. They get the Giants this week, Houston does. How bad is that going to be? A couple 0-2 messes in Houston this weekend. All right, we'll pick it up, hot or not, for you. Also, the good, bad, and ugly from the busy weekend. And we roll on. It's going to be a lot going on. Tom Herman news conference at noon today. Monday Night Football tonight. All part of a busy Monday on the Horn.